Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
One, two, three. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, Lord, be with us as we give you praise today. We love you. It's all for you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. here to be clean. We don't get clean to come here. We come here and have Jesus clean us. It says in the book of Hebrews, for we do not have a high priest who's unable to understand what we're going through. Jesus came. He lived on this earth. He walked through everything we did, but He didn't sin. But He gets it.
Yeah.
And because of that, it says, let us then with confidence draw near to God, to come before His throne with confidence, trusting in Him that He's got this, that we may receive mercy, that we may receive grace. And that's what we're singing about this morning, that God is mighty to save, that God can take us, He can clean us. There's nothing too bad, there's no sin too deep, there's no past that's too dark. God is mighty to save. We can come to Him and worship Him this morning. Let's sing it.
Yeah.
I'm proud to be here, proud to be in the church family, like Christ Community. If you're visiting, if you're a guest, if you're a friend, family, haven't been here in a minute, welcome. We're so glad you're here. I've seen people who I'm just glad to see here, you know, and people who, it's just good, you know, isn't it? Have you all ever read that passage where it says, it's good for the brothers, the people of God to dwell together? It's just good. Y'all, I know that right now, on this day, this very moment, there are Christians somewhere out in the world who wish they could meet as openly as we can meet. But they can't. But we can. And I'm telling you something, we ought to pray for them, but we ought to make the most of what we can do. Sometimes we can't get out because of health issues, but sometimes we're strong. I'm looking at my friend Miss Rosemary right there. She got her oxygen in. My brother Keith got his oxygen in. But you know what? They're here. You know what that tells me? That's where their heart is. Because people will find a way to do what they want to do. And that's encouraging to me. I want to be around those folks. I told you it's exciting times at Christ Community. We're going to talk about really why, you know, we're a church. God does the work of salvation in people's lives and He calls us together. And that's the church is a group of saved people. That don't mean everybody in this place, in this building is saved. If you're not saved, I hope you know, we look to be a part, God using us to maybe, you know, work on that. Matter of fact, if you've been saved through the ministry of Christ Community Church, would you just raise your hand up for a second?
Praise the Lord.
Can I tell you something? Can I just tell you? Whatever investment of time, talent, and treasure you've made in Christ Community Church, that's worth it. Y'all get what I'm saying? It's just worth it. It's just good. But God calls us to be on mission with Him. God has a mission. God is saving people. You remember our simple message? We had those t-shirts. Jesus saves, bro. You know, that's our message. And that message needs to get out. There's been a contrary message about how it's almost like God is an angry person that's trying to keep people out. But you know what? We're the people who God says, go tell them. He's not trying to keep people out. He's giving you the word so you can tell people how to get in. Don't use this to manipulate people. Tell them there's a way. We're going to be on mission with God this month. And I'm excited about it. And I just want to tell you some of the things going on. We're going to emphasize mission. It's not that we're not on mission any other time. But there's some cool things happening. All right? Amen for the cool things. Amen. That's why you're sitting there. You're sitting there getting air conditioning. I see you. I know. That's it. He's in there for the real cool thing. The air is kicking on him. So we're going to preach on missions. We're going to hear from a couple different missionaries. We're going to hear from a missionary. Y'all are going to hear from a missionary who he and his family were on mission field for over a decade on the continent of Africa. We're going to listen to some missionaries who served in Central and South America. We're going to pray for on a Wednesday. It's going to be Wednesday the 20th. We're going to have a young lady, Kayla Golden. Y'all know her. She's being called into the mission field. And she's going, I think, to Honduras. And she'll be leaving this summer. And she's going to share with us. And we're going to get an opportunity to pray for her. We're going to take about, there's going to be about 35 of us and another 25 people, about 60 people in total. From the 21st through the 24th, we're going to Fort Worth, Texas to work alongside the Beautiful Feet Ministry to share the gospel with a ginormous homeless population. And we're going to do that. We're going to bring them food. We're going to bring them coffee. But as we're giving them food and coffee, we're going to tell them about Jesus. We probably ain't the first ones that told them about Jesus. I'm just telling you the truth. There's a lot of Jesus talk going on around there. But you know what? I heard some things. Nobody really sat down and told me the gospel, but people would say John 3:16 to me. People would say stuff to me. And they weren't out of time, but it just wasn't my time yet. Who knows when we go out there that God done touched somebody and said, it's their time, and then we're there. We're there to share the gospel with them. That's just good. We're going to be a part of that for 4 days. One of the things I'm most excited about is that this Thursday, and I'm going to ask you all to pray. Pray hard. This Thursday, February 7th, we're starting an evangelistic Bible study in Haukum, Mississippi at the community center. That's this Thursday, isn't it? I'm looking at my crew. I'm like, that is this Thursday, right? At 6:30, we're going to be out there. You might say, what's an evangelistic Bible study? This Bible study is intended for people who don't have a church affiliation yet. People who have questions. Now, if everybody with answers show up and everybody from all the different churches, that's fine too. God will lead us and we'll talk about how to evangelize folks. But we're looking to have a safe place where people can say, I want to know about the Lord. I want to know about what it means. What does the Bible say about being saved? Or what is the Bible about? Whatever question they might have. We want the folks to come out that are barely sober. We want the folks to come out that when they walk into the church looks at them like, really? You're here? We want those ladies to come to this Bible study that think they ain't got no business walking into a church house. We want to tell them that Jesus loves them. And there ain't nothing they've done, said, thought, or otherwise that's going to keep them away from God. Because He's come for them. He's there for them. He wants them to be a part of His family. Even if there ain't no other church wants them, He wants them. Do y'all know what I'm saying? That's who we're after. And you know what the simple message we're going to give them? We're going to read all through the Bible. We're going to tell them different things. But you know what it's going to come down to? Jesus saves, bro. And that means you. But I'm going to tell you, we're just going to keep pounding it into their head. You know, we're just going to keep telling them and keep telling them. But that mission, it's a 12-week Bible study. That mission starts Thursday. On February 24th, I want you all to write this down. That's a Sunday. Y'all get to hear from a real sure enough church planter. He's been a part of a lot of churches being planted, but he planted one church in particular, and he's going to share his heart the way God leads him to here on that Sunday morning. His name is L.G. Schmitz. And you might have heard of a church that he helped plant. It's called Christ Community Church. You want to know the heart that God put in him to leave a comfy place where he had all kind of positions and titles in the church. But God said, I got something else for you. And that something else was to start a church where everyone would be welcome. And where everybody could find a place. And where the gospel would be proclaimed. You get to hear his heart. I'm excited. So all of it's going to be tuned in that way, all right? So we're going to start this emphasis with a great missions passage in the book of Isaiah. In the old King James, that would be Isaias. Yeah. I don't even know if I said it right. I think I did. I'm close to it. And we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 6. This is the basics of being on mission with God. This things that I'm going to talk about is not criteria to keep people out of serving God. It's the way of showing people how to serve God. That makes sense. This is a way in, not a barrier to keep people out. I'm going to read the whole chapter, and then we'll just go back through it. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their face, with two they covered their feet, and with the two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorpost and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Isaiah says to himself, "Woe is me! I'm ruined! I'm a man of unclean lips! I live among a people of unclean lips, but my eyes have seen the Lord, the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, and he had taken it with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth, and he said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." He said, "Go, tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but not perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull, close their eyes, and otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." Then I said, "For how long, Lord?" And the rest of the story is on the next page, and I'm having a hard time turning it. There it goes. And he answered, "Until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitant, until the houses are left deserted and fields ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away and the land is utterly forsaken. And though a tenth remains in the land, it again will be laid waste. But as the terebinth and the oak leave stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land." Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for calling us out to be on mission with you. It's the highest privilege. It's the highest honor is to be able, as sinners saved by grace, by those who needed to be born again, and those who needed to be converted because of who we are and our sinful nature, that we get to proclaim your business, that we get to have a relationship with you. It's a high calling. Thank you for not passing us by. Lord, we love you, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We're just going to go over real basic stuff about missions, okay? If you're going to be on mission with God, you need to recognize God is real. Doesn't that make sense? That's kind of like knock on wood, like, duh, okay, we got it. God is real. But you know, there's a lot of times people, we take this for granted. We kind of move on in our religious mindset. We move on with what we've been taught in our morals. We move on with behaviors that we've had our whole life. And we don't sometimes even give a second thought to the fact that God is real. Y'all, we ain't playing. I know we're lighthearted. I'm as goofy as anybody but Randy. You know, and y'all know, you know, we don't take ourselves too serious. We must never forget that God's real. Man, we always need to remember when we're dealing with God, when things touch on God, it's serious because He is. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, it's impossible to please God without faith. You have to understand, you have to believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Y'all, God's real. When we do the foundation of missions is not the need of people. It's not the sorrowful, pitiful state of mankind. The basis of missions is the fact that there is a sure enough real God who calls and sends and saves. That's the basis of missions. Y'all, and honestly, that's the basis of all things that we should be involved in. I know I talk bad sometimes about morality. It's not that I encourage immorality. I just discourage the idea that you can be saved by behaving well. But I can tell you something. When we know God's real, That starts to change our conduct. You know, that starts to work in your life. I love it. You know, I didn't stop doing all these kind of crazy things that I was into because somebody said, you need to stop that because it's bad. You bad boy? Don't you know that this... And I'd say, shut up. Man, I didn't have time for that. I ain't got time for all that. But when I got saved, and I became somebody who God was calling to represent Him, all of a sudden that cigarette looked weird in my hand. Puking down the front of my shirt because I was drunk seemed a little odd. Some of the relationships I was in seemed like they were not coinciding with the book that God gave me to read. And so it wasn't anybody beating on my head. It was the fact that all of a sudden it was a matter of going, yes, Lord, I get it. You've given me the high privilege to represent You, and I need to follow You in this. Now, I'm a little dense. It takes me longer than it takes most people. But y'all, the reality of God should be the basis of our moral walk. It's not. We're not trying to impress people or not get away with trouble. Man, we got all these kids here. They're experts. I love them. I love y'all. But you're experts at just not getting in trouble. You know, trying not to. Some of y'all crash and burn in that. But anyway, you know, it's not that you're trying to be good because you're following. You're just trying not to get in trouble. But God is real. Two things we need to know about the reality of God. One, He's experiential. It means we can experience a relationship with God. Look how this passage starts in verse 1. The year that King Uzziah died, it says, I saw the Lord. This is a sure enough experience that Isaiah is telling us. Y'all, listen. We're not making things up about God. You can experience God through faith. You might say, am I going to see Him like Isaiah did? That's God's business. It ain't mine. I can tell you this. There will be a time when every eye sees. That's Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, all eyes will see Him. There will be a day when every knee bows. There will be a day when every tongue confesses. Everybody is going to experience the reality of God at some point or another. I promise. You're going to experience the truth that God exists. Every atheist, every naysayer, everybody else, they're going to experience a time when they say, Y'all, the privilege and the honor is we get to experience that first here, voluntarily, invited by God. That's the way to do it. The next reality about God that I just want to see is that He's exalted. When we think about God and we think about His, you know, who He's like, what He's like, His character, listen to these words. It says, I saw the Lord exalted, seated on the throne, high and lifted up. The angels were singing, holy, holy, holy. They call Him Lord, God, Almighty. You know, this is who He is. So when we think about who God is, does He have a right to tell us to go places where we don't want to go sometimes? Does He have the right to tell us, hey, I need you to go talk to them. I need you to give this to her. I need you to go there. Of course. Why? Because He's exalted. Man, it's not about me. It's not based on my preaching. It's not based on my character. It's based on God. And He is high and lifted up, exalted. What's it going to be like when we see Him? Y'all know that one song? I wish I could sing it real good, but I can't. But I'm going to sing it anyway. Just not real good. It says, I can only imagine what it will be like or what I'll see or how it's going to happen. It's going to be real fantastic. I can't remember all the words, but it conveys that idea. I can only imagine what it's going to be like. I can only imagine what's going to happen when I'm face to face with the reality of who God is. Does that make sense? And so, y'all, but we need to know that, especially as we go on mission with God. We're not proclaiming some poverty-stricken God who needs people to believe in Him. Y'all ever see the Elf movie? Y'all see the Elf movie? Y'all remember what happens when people don't believe in Santa Claus? His reindeer don't fly? Okay, well, this is not who we're proclaiming. God's reindeer fly all the time. That's what I'm telling you. Because He doesn't require our faith. It's His character that drives it. Y'all get what I'm saying? Next, not only do we have to base it on the reality of God, but we need to base our missions on having an experience with the cleansing of God. We get prepared. We get prepared to go on mission based on the experience we have with God personally. That's the preparation. You might say, well, don't I got to go to school and don't I got to learn this and that? No, you got to get saved. You got to have an encounter with God where you find out through His Word and you find out through the gospel being shared with you and you take that step of faith and you get saved. That's where you go, hey, this is all right. This is good. I needed this. I need God. We sang that song where it said, I need you. I need you every hour. Can I tell you, I don't got 15 minutes of good in me where I can say I don't need God for this quarter hour. What about you? I don't got no time in me to say, hey, God, why don't you take a break? Dude, I got this. Do y'all have time like that? No, I need God. Do you see what Isaiah says? He says, these are big time. Woe is me. I'm ruined. I'm undone. He came to see God in His character, which revealed His own character as being sinful. Have you had an experience with God like that? Do you know how fruitless it is to go on mission trying to tell people that they need to have an experience that you never had? You know how the drudgery it would be to try to tell people that God is good, but you don't have a living example in your heart? Man, Isaiah's world just blew up. It started with confession. You want to know where we start with God? When we see that He is holy, we see that He is good, He is exalted, we just confess honestly about ourselves. That's exactly what Isaiah did. That's exactly where we start. I didn't start with God because I wanted to be something. I started with God by going, I'm sorry. I've come to realize I'm a sinner. He confessed. You know what his honest confession? It wasn't even just about himself, but it was about other folks too. Oh, man. He said, I'm a man with unclean lips. Any people here got a foul mouth? That's what he was saying. Yeah. You know? And it's something we need to work on, right? But do you come from what kind of country, what kind of culture do we come from? Do we have a foul mouth country too? We do, don't we? Y'all listen. There was no an honest confession, there's no hiding. We come to say, Lord, I've sinned. And besides that, everybody who's brought me up, they've sinned too. No, this is exactly what David did when he got caught. Y'all remember, go to Psalm 51. I was conceived in sin. I was brought forth in sin. I'm so full of sin. And it's just on me. It's everywhere. Whenever you hear somebody hiding behind a reason, a justification, or a rationalization for sin. Well, I do this because I grew up with it. I hear so many guys saying, well, I grew up with porn. Well, I grew up with porn. Don't make it right. Every guy in here is going, dang it. You got to lose it. You know what I'm saying? You can't say, well, you know, that's what my dad and my uncles did, and that's what everybody did, and that's just part of being a dude. Well, you got to cut that part off, dude. Just be glad it's that part. Here's the point. When I hear people making excuses, if your anger is just so bad and you can't hold it because you're making some kind of excuse because you saw angry people, stop it. Confess it. You might say, I don't know how to stop it. That's what I'm telling you. Confess it. Confess it. Lord, I can't deal with this. I can't deal with it. What if we just let everybody things... If I let everything justify itself by how I was raised, I promise right now I'd be drunk. I would. You might say, it's early in the day. It don't matter. I would be a vocational, which means my job would be that of getting intoxicated. You know, what am I going to say? Well, I saw that in my family. I did that and there. I promise, if I just followed my family tradition, there'd be weed in my pocket. I'm just telling you. We can't hide behind this stuff. So what do we say? Lord, this is who we are. This is who I am. And without your help, it's all I'll ever be. And I won't be able to go on mission, but I'm going to turn it over to you. I'm not going to make excuses. I'm not going to try to rationalize it. I'm going to face up and say, Lord, just help me. It's exactly what Isaiah did. What did God do? God took care of it. And I want you all to listen to this. I want you to listen to this complete forgiveness. The picture of it is a heavenly scene. The angels, again, this whole scene is heavenly. The angels take a live coal from the altar of God. One day we're going to warm ourselves by that altar, by the way. If you know the Lord, it's going to be cool. You'll see this whole thing play out. But he takes a live coal with tongs. It's nice that he had some tongs up there in heaven. And he went and he touched his lips. But I want you to hear exactly what happened. He says, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Y'all, those are not synonymous. That's not just parallel statements. He says, your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. Let's start with the idea of sin being atoned for. That word atonement here in Isaiah is going to mean covered. It's covered. It's been taken care of. It's been wiped out. The sin, the actual sin that you did when God said, don't do it, and you did it. That's sin. When God says, do it, and you don't do it, that's sin. When, you know, when we just walk in this way, plus just our nature being bent away from God and toward ourselves, that's sin. We got a sin nature. We got sins that we commit. We got sins we do by omission. And God says, I have taken care of that. All of it. All your sins are forgiven. All your sins are covered in the blood of Christ. We got a picture of that in the Old Testament too, where God told Moses to take blood from a lamb and put it over the doorposts. And what happened when they did that? When the wrath of God came against that sinful place, it passed over. The blood of the lamb causes the wrath of God to pass over. I'm going to say it one more time. The blood of the lamb causes the wrath of God to pass over. Man, you need to be covered. Your sin needs to be covered. But now I want you to see what else he did. It says, I've taken away your guilt. Your guilt. See, sin is what we do, but that guilt is produced by sin. It's not even real. I'm sure there's people here that carry guilt, but can you hand me some? Can you show it to me? Where do you carry your guilt at? It's imaginary, isn't it? Hey, when you sin, a lot of times there's a victim in there. A lot of times there's something that gone wrong. But what about your guilt? It's this invisible, heavy stuff that you carry around voluntarily. But can I tell you something? When you come to Christ, you can even set your guilt down. That's, I'm telling you, and you've heard me say this before, I love hitting on this. When I hear Christian people say, I know God forgives me, but I have a hard time forgiving myself, they're wrestling with guilt. And can I tell you about the forgiveness of God? It wipes away the guilt too. It takes care of all of it. It cancels the power of forgiven sin. Sin don't, there ought not even be a remnant or a smell or the, I can't say smell without thinking of skunks, because man, down 51 is where there's been so many skunks hit. Anybody else live down toward Elliott and down toward Camp McCain Estates? Have you been smelling them? It's awful. I live down that way. I just want to go home. No. But I'm going to take a different route. No. But, you know, when we go down that way, because literally there's been like 3 skunks killed. You know, by the old Heatcraft factory is one, and then one down right by the entrance to Camp McCain Estates has been another one. And they're just there. There's a whole herd of skunks that come out, and they got run over. And the action, the running over of the skunks happened sometime in the past, more than a week ago, maybe even 2 weeks ago. But I can still smell them. When it first happened, I was there. It made my eyes water. It was the worst. I think I ran through 2. And it was just horrible. Anyways, here's my point. When God takes away the sin, He takes away the stink too. You don't need to carry the guilt of your sin. Christian people beating themselves up for what Jesus died for isn't godly. Y'all hear what I said? When Christian people beat themselves up for what Jesus died for, it is not godly. It is not holy. It is not practical or helpful. He didn't die for your sin for you to keep walking around all like, Get rid of that. We think it's irresponsible to be light and free from our sin, but it's not. It's exactly what we ought to do and exactly what Isaiah could do. Because he said, I take away the guilt of your sin and I've atoned for your sin. That's awesome right there. Y'all get what I'm saying? It's awesome. Let God do what only God can do in your life. Do you know in the book of Leviticus they had a guilt offering? There was a lamb for a guilt offering. They had it specified out. So you know what that tells me? The Lamb of God fulfills all those offerings, which means our guilt is not anything we have to bear anymore. Let it go. It ain't helping you. It ain't helping me. It ain't helping our mission. Next, we need to experience the call of God. The call of God is when we get it. When we get what He's done in our lives. Where we come to understand who we are in Him. And God says, I want you to tell somebody. I want you to tell somebody. Not just, you know, it doesn't have to be a vocational call. It's not that you have to become a missionary in some, you know, place far away. People are always afraid of going to Africa as a missionary, but I always thought Antarctica would be worse. But anyway, you're going to be a missionary in Antarctica. I'd be like, thanks, Lord. I don't know why. It just crosses my mind. But don't worry about where God's going to send you. Just be ready to go when He does. Be ready to speak when He says speak. Be ready to give when He says give, to teach when He says teach, to share when He says share. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about, getting into a point where now we're stuck in something forever. But look, it's just about being open to God. Look at Isaiah here. God initiates the call. Remember this, God always initiates a good call. Sometimes if you carry around guilt, you might try to guilt yourself into serving God. Worst thing I can imagine is somebody who's been guilted into serving God, and then people come to them trying to find grace, trying to find mercy, and they come to a person who's beat down and doesn't know nothing about grace or mercy. Oh. But when God initiates the call, He says, come on. All we need to do is say, yes, Lord. Isaiah either is so faithful or he was so dumb. Depending on how you look at it, right? God said, who will go for us? And Isaiah said, I'll go. I'll go. I'm ready. I'll go. I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. God didn't even tell them what they were going to do. Do y'all notice that? Do you notice in this, the mission that God has for Isaiah isn't really pleasant? What if He said the mission first, like, hey, we need to go send somebody out there to preach, but nobody's going to listen, but we just need to send you out there to preach. Isaiah might have been like, I'm just happy being forgiven, dude. You know? But he heard the call of God, and his yes was on the table. Is your yes on the table for God? Or are you ready? You just waiting for a sweet deal? God, give me the detail. Tell me, Lord, what we're going to do. That's church. Church folks are famous for wanting to know what's going on. And if God calls you to Christ Community Church, that means He's broke you of that habit. Because ain't nobody but God knows what's going on here. Two things about that. One, I'm not kidding. And two, that's the best way to be. We ain't got this whole thing scheduled out. I remember LG and I going to a conference and they said, well, get together with your staff and talk about your 5-year, you know, put this on your 5-year calendar and your 10-year planning. And we looked at each other like, what? We both looked at each other like, we might not even be alive in 5 years. Why don't we just do what God tells us to do right now? Like, okay. Y'all, listen. God's not asking us to plan it out. People feel safe when there's a plan. Plans are the most awful, worthless, junky stuff to feel safe about. Feel safe because you're following God. Feel safe because God called you. You know, it's kind of like when you're sitting in the pool and you're trying to get your kids to learn how to jump off into your arms. Y'all remember that? You're trying to get kids to jump off the side of the pool and they're freaked out. They're like, You don't explain to them aerodynamics. What's going to happen is you're going to go and then gravity is going to pull you right down in my arms because they're strong and going to catch you and all that. You just say, baby, I got you. I got you. Jump off. And eventually, they come to trust you and they jump right on your head. And then what happens is this. Y'all know what happens next, right? What happens? Again, I want to do it again. They were scared to shaken. But once they jumped off and they knew they could trust you, they want to do it again and again. Isaiah trusted God. He didn't make God lay out a whole plan for him. God just said, who's going to go? And he said, me. I'll go. That's how we ought to be on mission with God. Let God initiate the call. Y'all, we're a New Testament church. We don't got to even wait for any kind of specific invitation. God said, go, make disciples of the whole world. Who was he talking to? Who was he talking about? Us. You might say, but where and how? Stop asking questions and say yes. He's not looking to see how smart you are. He's looking to see how much you trust him. The call of God is always going to be responded to by yes or no, not what or wait. When God calls you, you say yes or no. Don't say what or say wait. You remember when Jesus was walking around, he told people to follow him? And they would say, well, will you wait until I get my life squared away? And he said, bye. For real. I mean, that's pretty harsh. Will you wait till I take care of these family issues? Will you wait till I get done with school? Will you wait till I get stable? Will you wait for this? He's God and he ain't waiting for nobody. He loves you and he invites you. And as a child of God, you ought to just have your yes on the table when he says, hey, come on. You say, yes, sir. Yes, Lord. Here I am. And just go with it. Man, if you can't trust God, if you can't just leave your yes on the table with God, this is what I'm guessing. You don't trust nobody. Or you trust all the wrong peoples. Don't trust your feelings. Don't trust your intellect. Don't trust your buddies. Don't trust your families or your traditions and all those things. I'm not saying that they're not trustworthy. What I'm saying is don't put all your eggs in that basket. We're all fallible. Don't trust your preacher. He's fallible too. Get back in this Word. Read the Word. Trust God. And let your yes be on the table. Does that make sense? That's how we go on mission with God. We just let our yes be on the table. And then God says, now go. He sends you. God will send you. You ever know, have you ever had the thought that, well, maybe it's not the right time. It's not the right time to share Jesus with this person. Y'all ever have that thought? Maybe it's just not the right time to talk to them about the Lord. Can I tell you? It is. That's why God brought them to your life. He'll keep bringing them around probably. But sometimes you're going to have to break down and say, okay, Lord, yes, I'm going to tell them. What if you don't know anything except for the simple phrase, Jesus saves, bro? Well, then those three words is what you ought to share with them the next time you see them. Let them interpret it however they want. Let God work in that little seed that you planted. But tell them. When he sends you, tell them. Lastly, when it comes to missions, not only we're going back to the character of God. Not only is God real, but God is responsible. God's responsible. Y'all, I think we get so bent out of shape. We get so worried. Like we're going to mess things up. We're talking about eternity, heaven, hell, all these things. You ain't going to mess things up, baby. God's got this. Okay? If you say no, he's going to go to the next person. He's going to find somebody to go. God's going to do what he's going to do. We just might miss out on serving him. I don't want to miss out on serving him for a minute. But can I promise you this? God's plan is not hinged on you. God's plan is not hinged on me. God takes responsibility for his plan. God is going to make this happen. Do y'all get me? How many people did it take to start the... I asked Mr. Bill to count. There was somewhere around 230 people here today. Okay? How many people did Jesus take and spend time with to change the whole world? How many people? 12, and how many of those were good ones? 11. We got that one guy.
We're thousands of miles away where they started. You know what God can do with just a little bit? And we don't ever got to be scared that the mission of God's not going to be accomplished. God will not be defeated. God's plan is not going to be foiled. God's timing is never going to be off or inaccurate. God's plan is never going to God's plan is never going to change, and He's going to make it happen. You can trust God. God is not an adolescent that we got to be worried about if He's keeping up with things. Y'all get what I'm saying? God is responsible. I can imagine God looking down and using the phrase that some of us use, say, "I'm grown. I got this." Okay? We just get to be a part. Don't forget that. I see people worry themselves sick, and you ain't got to. You can just kick back and enjoy the fact that God is real, God's responsible, and God's called you to go for Him, and just let everything else go. Hands up, free, and happy. I got to sing last night at a Valentine's thing. I really did. People paid to hear me sing last night. I promise it was the weirdest thing. But before I sang, I told them my qualifications for singing. Because I have qualifications for singing. You want to know what they are? Well, Jesus. But you know what Jesus did? It comes out of that song, His Eyes on the Sparrow. It says, "I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow. And I know He watches me. Because I'm His. So I can sing, I can share, I can go, I can give without fear because God is in charge. God is responsible for His mission. Not you, not me, not the church, not a denomination, not all these traditions, not all these theologians, not all this blah, 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 blah. Him. He's in charge. Y'all get it? So when you go on mission, wherever you go, if you go to Fort Worth, if you go to Holcomb, if you go down the street, if you go talking to your neighbor, your grandchildren, whoever, if you're in Walmart and God says, "You need to tell that person Jesus saves, bro." And you're like, "I don't know if it's the right time." you just go, "Yes, Lord." And you just go, "Jesus saves, bro." Who knows what might happen with that simple phrase when you share it? How exciting it is. But just know this, you're not in control of it. God is. God's responsible to make God. God's responsible for my salvation. I didn't plan on saying this, but I'm going to give you this short bit extra. I'm going to tell you why I believe I will never lose my salvation, why I'll be saved from the point that I gave my life to the Christ to the point I enter the pearly gates and I'm sitting there in the choir going, "Hallelujah." I'm going to tell you God's going to get me there. I never came to God and said, "You need to figure out a way to save me." He came to me and said, "I know how to save you." My salvation is God's responsibility. He took that on. Not me. I didn't tell myself how to be saved or how to keep myself saved. I trust God. He's got this. He's got this. All this. And He knows how to keep me saved. He knows how to get me saved. He knows how to complete it. He knows how to get my attention. He knows how to correct me when I'm wrong. He knows how to discipline me. He knows how to do all those things. God knows. God knows. Put yourself into God's hands and just do what He tells you. That's the heart of missions. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for the opportunity we have to be here. And Lord, I pray that You would do Your work. Not that I have to tell You or ask You, but I ask just so we'd all recognize, we can trust You to do Your work. Thank You for wanting to use us. Thank You for using Christ Community Church. We're a ragtag group of whoever's. And You just choose to use us because You're gracious and kind, and we love You, Lord. We give You all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, this is your time right now to respond to being on mission with God, responding to this message, okay? A couple ways that would be in this message, there's a couple responses. One might be, if you've never given your life to Christ, and you've never trusted Him the way I've talked about, maybe today's the day you need to trust Him. Just say, I surrender. I'm going to be yours. I'm giving it all to you. Thank you for maybe that's your response. Maybe your response is, Lord, I've asked all kinds of questions like, what do you want me to do? How long is it going to be? Where do you want me to go? What, tell me the plan. Lay out the plan. If y'all think I'm awful about laying out the plan, I dare you to spend a week in God praying and don't come out until He gives you a detailed plan of your next week. Y'all think I'm bad? Go. Go. Put it on Him. Y'all be like, all right, John's not that bad at planning. God gives us a plan. I can tell you what the plan is. I'll tell you where we are on the schedule. We are waiting for Christ to come back. And in the meantime, we need to share the gospel. Anything else needed? Nope. So just say yes. Yes, Lord. Maybe you need to say yes about praying. We're starting a Bible study where we're going to invite a whole bunch of lost folks. It'd be great if there was a whole lot of saved folks praying. What do you think? Because lost folks don't just always just open up until God starts doing what God does. So maybe you ought to be praying. Maybe you ought to be giving. Maybe you ought to be going. If you need to respond to some kind of missions like that, you tell God. Say, here I am. My yes is on the table. All right? All right. This is your time right now. I was sitting there, and God just kind of got all over me and said, and just reminded me, man, I've already won. Don't matter what situation I go into, because I was heading to hell, and God saved me. I've already won. And then I look at how God's used me. And every victory, and every influence, and every seed planted, and every step of obedience is just adding on and piling on to the victory that grace won in my life. And it just struck me. I was sitting there feeling so free. Just like, man, I don't got to impress y'all. I ain't got to impress nobody. I ain't got to. God's already won. And everything after that is just a testament. It's just to the glory of God. Y'all, that's living like that. I don't know if what got me upset was that I don't always live like that. Man, I want to always feel this. Don't you want the people you know to know that God has got it all from front to back, top to bottom? That's the heart of missions. That's what I was just trying to. I know this is the second sermon. You already paid for one. And you know, well, you ain't yet. We're going to have the ushers come down for the morning offering now. I'm going to shut up. But I just wanted y'all, that I ain't looking to win someday. Man, I won as soon as I gave my life to Christ. God won in me. And everything else is just on top. Everything else is frosting. Everything else is gravy. And it's beautiful. And you can win in Christ. We win in Jesus. You understand? We don't ever lose in Him. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving a freedom through Christ, changing who we are, making us born again. That was the victory. You won the victory for us. And then you just pile on, Akla. You just pile on and pile on grace. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, even with this specific offering, help us to lead more and more people to Christ. More and more people into the victory that comes through grace. And Lord, we love you and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Under your wing, come.
pray for us. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. I pray this. I pray that you continue to be with us, put us on mission. Lord, thank you for all that we heard today. Doc shared his heart about the loss that he experienced. And Father, be with him and help him. Help all of us that have experienced that kind of loss. Lord, I know he's not the only one here. And Father, we give you all the praise. Use us in your mission. Use us to be your church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Love y'all. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. Ready? Break.